Sounds baseball today. It's getting ready to start. Check it out. ESPN 94.9. They're going to take on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. Jumbo Shrimp.
I thought you were about to say Jumbotron.
That's coming up in a minute on 94.9.
Jumbo Shrimp.
That's presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Spirited High.
And brought to you by Bubba Gump Shrimp.
Bubba Gump Shrimp.
Making me hungry.
Shrimp cocktail, shrimp shoe.
Lemon pepper shrimp, orange shrimp. That's about it. Bubba. Benjamin Buford Blue. One of the greatest characters of all time.
Yep. By the way, they've been showing that a lot lately
on TBS or TNT.
It's
on Netflix now.
Well, they're not showing hockey and basketball. They're showing Gump. Gump. Let's go to Franklin. Scott, you're up next. Welcome in.
Hey, I can't believe some of the stuff I heard earlier. I'm with the last caller more so than anybody else. I mean, y'all got to keep Stillman from calling in so much. He's got his own show. But, the competitive transition ahead of schedule, I'm with that. The benefit of changing, of getting rid of Arvidsson and Ellis, the benefit of that is now we have a bunch of salary cap room. And what I want to hear from ownership is I want them out there making a splash and signing a legit top six forward to add some scoring on the second line, because that's what this team desperately needs to go with. Nick Johansson, and I guess Tomasino is going to be a full-time second liner next year, but that's what we need is another scorer. And, I would have said a week ago that we also need a veteran backup goalie, but I'm not so sure. Maybe Ingram is the answer there, but, I was, thinking, too, that someone along the lines of a Marc-Andre Fleury on a 1 or 2 year deal would have also been the other glaring need, but hopefully Ingram can be that guy because he did show flashes. But, the folks that are down on Forsberg or don't think he deserves a lot of money, I've heard a lot of ridiculous derogatory stuff, but Forsberg now owns the number 2, the number 4, and the number 6 goal-scoring seasons in franchise history. To hear some people say it, he hardly ever plays. I mean, he missed a dozen games this year, but most of that was due to COVID, not due to injury. So, I mean, people need to get realistic. As far as Fiala for Granlund would have set the franchise record for assists this year had Yossi not blown it out by 20. So, By the way,
they've had huge production out of Granlund since he's been here.
It's not only the production, but he was the team MVP last year.
He's a winning player.
He was the team MVP. He's the one that's in there, penalty kill, doing all the grunt work, the scut work, and he was one of the definite ones that, as they say, set the tone. So, I mean, Fiala scored more goals this year, but in the grand scheme of things, I still think we're ahead on that trade.
I think it's a wash, honestly.
I think it's been a win-win for both.
I do think it's a win-win. I believe, Darren, you were just talking about a lot of the intangibles that don't show up when you're looking. If you're just looking at goals and assists, that's not a fair way to evaluate the trade. And I thought our caller had, Scott just had a really good point. Granlund is a guy in the foxhole that does everything. The ability to defend, the ability to throw his body in front of shots, the way he carries himself amongst the team, the respect he has of his teammates, it's off the chart. And he's going to be a Predator for the next 3 years. Kevin Fiala is not signed for next year. They got salary cap issues.
Well, they got issues. They got a lot of dead money.
And what is the adage of the salary cap? You find ways to keep your best guys. Bill Guerin had a lot of tough choices. He signed Joel Eriksson Ek. He signed Kirill Kaprizov. And you go down the list, 3 or 4 other guys. He didn't commit to Kevin Fiala. Now, Kevin Fiala is an unbelievable talent, and he's going to keep scoring goals for somebody. I'd take him back, honestly, here, because I do think he brings a ton to the table. But let's not discount what Mykhaile Granlund brings to the table too. That's a it's a if you're going to just dump all over that trade, I think that's unfair. I think it's like you said, Darren. I would categorize it as a win-win.
Yeah, it's been a win-win.
And unfortunately, when they made the trade, Granlund did not have a good completion to the season or a good start to the next season. He's really thrived under John Hines, but he did not thrive under Peter Laviolette, unfortunately.
Yeah, and if something the organization needs to think about, speaking of win-win, it's probably, you know, if you don't want articles written like Adam Vingan hearing other voices, maybe you should let the players talk in all situations, because it's just a really, really bad decision, because fans deserve to hear from players in wins or losses. Mm-hmm. They're professional athletes, and fans deserve – by the way, you are telling your fan base – your viewers, with you guys, Willie, our listeners here on these airwaves, and people that go to games, you're telling them you only will hear from your players when things are good. I just tell you, it's a horrible message. Horrible message. And quite honestly, it's embarrassing. It really is embarrassing. These are professional athletes that make a lot of money. And your fans dedicate time and their money to either showing up to your product, buying your product, watching your product, or listening to your product. And you've told them you're only going to hear from your players or your coaches, but in the case, really, your players when things are good. That's an embarrassing message. It's a slap in the fans' face. You're telling grown men you can't talk? In a loss or when you're losing? Give me a break. Let me tell you, if that room, and I don't believe this for a minute, if that room is full of guys that won't talk when they lose or they're behind, you better clean house. You better go get some different professional athletes. And I don't believe that to be the case, by the way. I'm just saying, if that were the case, if you're shielding guys that are they're not tough enough to talk in losses or when you're behind, you got the wrong group of guys. But let me just tell you, you want this stuff to quiet down, you might want to make your players available when they lose, because fans deserve to hear from them. They do. And it's a horrible decision to shield and only let players talk in good times and not in bad. Tell you what, why don't you just go down up and down the rows and just slap your fans in the face? Say, you don't deserve it. We don't care about you. Only when things are great. We'll all hug and high five in good times. But you don't deserve to hear from players when it's tough. With this just in, 82 games. Gosh, you're going to lose games. I know, shocking. But how about this decision? Whoever's behind the decision to shield players when you're losing or in a loss and that the fans don't deserve to hear from them, and oh, by the way, they don't have to man up and talk, it's ridiculous. It's absurd. And like I said, if it is a problem in the room that they're saying we won't do that, which I don't believe for a minute. No, for a second. But if it is, then you need to clean house. You better get some new athletes. Derek, did you run when you lost?
Nah.
I know, because I dealt with you. No, you didn't. I mean, it's part of the business, man.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. You're going to tell somebody who makes millions of dollars, hey, man, you only have to answer questions when things are good. Wow, sign me up. That sounds like a great gig. Let me get this straight. You're going to give me millions and only have to talk when things are good? Fantastic. Awesome. Where do I sign? It's embarrassing. It's honestly, it's embarrassing. And, you know, you don't want stuff like this written. Then, you know what? Here's an idea. Make your players available. Fans want to hear. Your players can handle it. They're grown men. They're professional athletes. And by the way, some of them are really good at it.
I thought yesterday was a good point. Yesterday, the guys were very accessible. That was good.
These guys can handle it. But I think it's part of the business.
Consistency is always a good thing.
Well, I mean, if you're only going to send one, if you're going to shield everything, then you're going to get articles like this written. If you're only going to get one narrative and it's going to be a small window when you're going to hear from people, then expect more articles like this to come out. Expect more people to talk about it. If that's how you're going to operate, hey, we're just going to have this small little bubble and this small little window, and this is how we're going to operate, and these are the people you're going to hear from, and this is when you're going to hear from them. What do you expect? You know, at some point, you feel like you got to speak up for the fans. They deserve to hear. And by the way, have a little bit more faith in your players. They're grown men. They can handle it. Have you ever talked to Matias Ekholm after a loss? He's spectacular. He gets it. Roman Josi can handle losses. It's part of the business. It sucks. I get it. But it's part of the business. All right, we'll come back. Nate, Bob, and Antioch. More phone calls on the other side. Willie, you've got a word about Lee Company.
All right, let's talk Lee Company. 615-567-1000 is the phone number. Give them a call, and it may be for any number of reasons why you want to call them. Hey, the weather getting warmer now. You might be realizing air conditioning not running very well right now. You might have a couple units. Maybe you hadn't used one of them in a while, and whoa, not getting cold air at me right now, and that's not a good thing. Well, 567-1000. 615-567-1000. Boom. Hit them up with a call or go to leecompany.com, and they're on it for you. But better yet, look long-term. Look consistent. Stay out of these situations by being a part of their home maintenance plan. It's smart. They give you annual checkups of your air conditioning unit before the weather gets warm. Same thing in the fall before the weather starts getting cold. They'll check your heating unit once a year. Same thing with your plumbing system and your electric system. They'll recommend repairs when needed, and you'll get discounts on those repairs as part of your membership on the home maintenance plan. So call Lee Company right now. They're a big sponsor of the Nashville Predators. Very supportive. 615-567-1000 or leecompany.com.
I love it. Back here on the DDC on this gorgeous Wednesday. It's going to be hot. It's kind of hot in here. It's hot outside, too. D-Mace, I think he's digging it. Let's go to Nate. You're up next. Welcome in.
First off, guys, I wanted to say tonight is supposed to be my first ever Nashville SC game as a professional soccer club, so I'm really excited about that.
Awesome. Have fun.
Enjoy.
Yeah, I got invited by a friend, so real cool. So with the Preds, we have said this already. I don't like waffling in the middle for the past 3-4 years. It all kind of started with the President's Trophy being knocked out after that. I definitely do not have a clear understanding of the path the organization wants to go to. Now, I know, Billy, you're so adamant. You know exactly what they're doing. We're waffling in the middle. We weren't expected to make the playoffs before the season. We make the playoffs, and then we get knocked down in the first round. I feel like if this quote-unquote competitive transition continues, this is what we're going to be for the next I don't know how many years. I want a clear path. I want more younger players playing. I understand we have to play, you know, Ryan Johansson, Ekholm, Josi, Forsberg this year. We all know about next year. Duchesne, because all of these big contracts. But I could just be completely off. I could be not understanding who's young and who's not because.
All right. Well, Nate, let me list the younger players who have come in and the older players they've shipped out. Okay?
Yeah.
PK Subban. Did they ship him out at the right time? By the way, PK was tremendous on the desk.
You're surprised by that?
I'm not surprised at all. In fact, I was thinking about this. I think PK might end up getting a better contract offer to stay doing that than he will on the ice next year. It depends on how bad he wants to play. I mean, he's going from making $9 million a year to I don't know what he's going to get offered. It's not going to be anything close to that.
Do you think Rick Tocchet's going to get a job in the offseason?
Possibly.
Okay, then there's a spot to fill.
Well, he'll have his choice. PK could do the Tom Brady almost, I think. But well, all right, I digress.
Think okay. Better than Brady at this?
I don't think he's going to get $375
yeah,
million.
I no, but I'm saying he will get. He will be. Say no. They will be competing for his services. He's going to be awesome at that. All right. So, PK, Nick Bonino, Kyle Turris, Victor Arvidsson, Ryan Ellis. And I listed them all yesterday, and I didn't bring my list because I did my did the show from my house yesterday.
Callie Yarncroak,
Eric Halla. Those are all older players that they shipped out. I'm probably missing one or two other ones.
Good Branson.
Austin Watson. Mm-hmm.
Watson.
Good Branson. And then look at all the guys they've come in, first or second-year players. Yakov Trenin, Tanner Jeannot, Alex Carrier, Dante Fabro, Ellie Tolvanen, Phil Tomasino, Michael McCarron, Matt Luff, Cole Smith. I mean, there's a lot. They've gone from being one of the older teams to one of the younger teams.
And most of those have been with trades. Am I correct?
No,
not really.
Those are all those. No. Remember the Milwaukee team that dominated a couple years ago.
Okay, we don't have time to go up and down. This is all okay.
So, what's
your take,
about
Nate? Do you want to hear from ownership? Like, weigh in on what we're talking about. Like,
You don't understand the plan. The plan has been really easily laid out there.
I will say this, since y'all were talking about this, especially yesterday. Yes, I will continue to go if they end up, being really bad and not being, in the middle or towards the top or whatever. Because I will clearly understand what's happening. I will support them through that.
Okay.
Ownership, to me, I could be completely wrong with this, but with all this competitive transition and whatever he phrased it as before he described it as competitive transition, just to be harsh, GM David Poyle seems like the GM version of Butch Jones with all these kind of catchphrases.
Okay. Thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it.
It's fair for, a fan to think that way. Looking at this team.
Although, in fairness, I don't think David has said brick by brick.
Yeah, he hadn't said that. Yeah.
Really think he has sayings like Butch Jones? Do you get that impression, honestly?
And people are looking at it from the competitive,
he has not
rebuild
said
or whatever.
Champions of life.
Uh-huh.
He has not said that, or brick by brick.
Yeah, but he did.
Look, Willie, there is there are certain things that look. I think John Hines is right. It's the consistent message, and I think that's what some of the. I'm not trying to speak for Nate, but I know there's been a lot of feedback we've had on our text line or people calling in of this kind of the same stuff.
Yeah, it's consistent.
Yeah, it is.
It's consistent.
But
it is.
People are tired of hearing the same.
But it's a plan.
I know it's consistent,
you can't have it both ways. You want them to come up with a new saying, a different plan every day?
They
want to
hear somebody else say it. Willie, it's not what's being said. They want to hear management say it.
It's back to the
kids.
Everybody
go to the left. Oh, next day. Everybody go to the right. Okay, let's slow down. Let's speed up. I mean,
it's
consistent.
Willie,
that's how you build a winner.
You're absolutely right.
With a plan and you build.
You're right. But it's been, not the whole 25 years, but part of the 25 years, it's been the same message and haven't gotten any further in the playoffs. So they would like to hear it from someone else. And when you, as a GM, don't make any trades in the trade during the trade period, you don't, do anything or bring anyone that's going to make the team better, because in your mind as a GM, we have a good team. We are, things are running well with this team. I don't want to mess up the chemistry of this team. Okay, if that's indeed the case, then you need to now start using that surplus to go get players. You didn't do it during the trade deadline. Now you need to do it.
Yes, I 100% agree.
I think that would tell the fans more than anything that you are doing something. The plan is to go get players to help this team. When you don't do it during the trade deadline and then you say we're in this competitive transition, They're tired of hearing that because they're like, right, well, you're not doing anything about it.
But Nate just called and said he wanted to see the young players. That's exactly what they did.
Yeah, I didn't understand
that's exactly what they did the last 2 years.
I didn't understand what he
said. And they still made the playoffs.
We were kind of going in circles.
Now, the next step, I agree, is to now use the cap space you have developed, evaluate the young players that you played, and add one or two pieces in the offseason. I think you're going to hear that message.
All right, let's go to Bob in Antioch. You're up next. Welcome in.
Good morning, guys. I'm optimistic. First of all, I'm a day one season ticket holder. I'm optimistic because when you rebuild, you get younger and you take your lumps with younger players. Well, they're one of the youngest teams in the league. They've gone from being one of the oldest to one of the youngest, and they took their lumps with younger players in the playoffs. But I think if you step back, they definitely made progress this season, and I think that maybe the big mistake that they made is just not going ahead and calling it a rebuild, because that's what it is. They tore it down. They got rid of all the players that you guys mentioned. They got younger. They made progress. They took some lumps. But I really think that they're headed in the right direction. And so I think maybe there might have been some apprehension about calling it what it was.
But you can't call it a rebuild and then make the playoffs. And by the way, the reason that nobody wants to use rebuild anymore is optics. Because, right, Bob, as a season one ticket holder, they may have you because you've been around buying tickets and going to games for almost 25 years. But there's a whole lot of people that have just moved here in the last couple of years, and they kind of come and they go. And when you say that R word, they go. They don't come. And I think it's more about optics.
Oh, I totally agree with that. And just going back to it could, you know, this group was pretty dominant when it was in Milwaukee. And maybe it's a sign that they've got more potential than people think, because they, even though they were in a rebuild, they managed to eke into the playoffs. Now, I'm not naive enough to think, hey, we're going to be, you know, Stanley Cup contenders in a year or two. But I do think that they're on the right trajectory.
All right, thank you for the call, Bob. Let's sneak one more in. Good William, thanks. You're up next. Welcome in.
Hey guys, thanks. Bear with me. I guess. My dad and my granddad used to go to the Flyers game, Dixie Flyers games, and they took me to the South Stars games in the 80s, and then hockey became my number one sport because other sports bored me. Football, they just bored me. The action and back and forth with hockey, and it was a Triple-A team for the North Stars, the Nashville South Stars. And none of them guys stood out to me, but one was, and I've never seen any, he just stood out. It was Kelly Rudy, who was a goalie for the Indianapolis Checkers. And the only reason he was in Triple-A is because Billy Smith was with the Islanders. That's all. What I think right now, I'm glad I'm hearing all this negativity, because I think fans are no longer just willing it. The fans are right. Willie's wrong. Y'all are wrong. The fans are right, because they're taking ownership in the team. They're not selling for mediocrity. You can put lipstick on a sow all you want to, but it's still a pig. And Poyle's not very good at asset management. Ellis should have been traded 2 years ahead. We didn't get anything. He should have been traded 2 years. We got two guys that one had reconstructive knee surgery, and the other guy was, I don't know, Myers? What was that? That was like a throw-in. That we took that off their hands because he was probably a problem child. He stuck. He put Johansson and Duchesne on the unprotected list last year, but he signed into them contracts, and nobody else wants them. Who wants the assistant general managers? We used to have guys get plucked off, like Fenton and Shero. Nobody wants these guys below him now. Nobody wants to do this organization, like the New England Patriots, when they start plucking off their assistant coaches. Nobody wants none of these assistant guys. I think Poyle.
Who's the coach of the Wild? Who's the coach of the Wild?
Edmonton.
Yeah. Where'd he come from?
Yeah, we fired him. He left.
Okay. Carl Taylor. You think he's going to get a job?
I'm talking about front office. I'm not talking about coaching.
Okay.
Nobody wants none of these assistant managers. What do we got? Like eight of them. Nobody wants another one.
What are you basing that on?
Here's the deal. You're just throwing stuff out there. You have no facts to back that up at all. None. You're just throwing stuff out there.
I got just as much as you do.
Oh, really? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else, William? Do you want to just throw anything else out there?
Did you think they would make the playoffs before the season, William?
Who cares about the playoffs? Anybody make the playoffs?
Who cares about the playoffs?
No, I'm saying, did you think they would make the playoffs before the season?
Yes, I did.
You did?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they must have done something right if you thought that they could get to the playoffs.
Right. I thought
the plan
must have been good. You picked them to go to the playoffs.
Hey, and all they did was embarrass themselves in their organization.
Oh.
They showed no faith.
Okay.
They got swept. They got their butt kicked.
They did?
They did.
It's embarrassing.
Is there a reason for that?
Have we not said that on the show?
It was a AAA guy. There was a AAA guy that called up to the big leagues and got mocked.
Yep. We've already get it. The horse is in the glue factory. We got it. And we've said that. Anything else, William?
Poyle, the time has passed. I give him respect. His asset management is very poor now.
That's fine. That's your opinion. That's fine. That's why we're doing this. It's okay.
Okay, but every time you just saying where you're making all the callers look like they're wrong. And I think the callers are right. They're finally taking ownership.
William, I don't think we made the callers look like as if they were wrong. I mean, we've agreed with some of the stuff that the callers have said.
I listen. I take in what you say, and I listen, and I also listen to the callers. Every time a caller comes in, y'all just play like your tennis. Y'all just hit the ball back.
Uh-huh.
Anybody can play that game. You don't look at the ball and like study it. You just hit it right back.
Tennis is a great game. I love ping pong.
I can't do it with a torn ACL.
Pickleball is good too.
My tennis days are over.
My backhand is not.
I'm just
going to
stay at the net and slam it.
It's called debate. You have discussion. It's
so William. So we're supposed to when a caller calls in and give their takes and we're respectful to them and we honestly we've agreed with what they say.
By the way, this show lets you talk.
Exactly,
William. You've been on the line for 5 minutes.
I get to talk
on this show.
Thank you for that.
So we haven't been bouncing it back and forth like a tennis.
We don't say, William, you're up next. 15 seconds, go.
Right, which some people do.
I mean,
or don't take calls at all.
So you're going to hammer us, but we're letting you talk, just like everybody else.
Well, really, I didn't mean to get that argumentative. My main point was, I'm just happy to see fans that are taking ownership.
Yes, there's nothing wrong with that.
William, applause. We are with you. Let's all group hug. We're with you. William on three. Ready? Break.
William is a great name, by the way.
Oh, man.
My mom calls me Willie.
All right. There you go.
But the question is, when she gets mad, does she call you Billy? William, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Listen, again, until you're gonna hear these calls, you're gonna hear more of these calls than not moving forward. Until management, somebody other than Poyle talks, you're just gonna hear. This is what it's gonna be.
Agree.
And okay,
is anybody said on the show that
absolutely?
Who's disagreeing with that?
Exactly. It's like it's fair.
I don't have a problem with that. The only thing I'm trying to defend is they do have a plan. There was a lot of clamoring, get younger, get younger, get younger. That's exactly what they've done. They told you exactly what they're going to do. Most people did not think they would make the playoffs, but they have made the playoffs. This was not a year that they were supposed to contend. So what were your expectations? Now, as Derek pointed out, the next step, and a couple callers have done it as well. You take the salary cap space that you have accumulated, and you do something with it. That's the next step forward.
All right, we'll come back. More DDC next. Back here on the DDC on this gorgeous Wednesday, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Appreciate all the interaction. We're not done today. By the way, C-Mace will join us at 1 o'clock. Tim Hasselback coming up at high noon. Let's talk with the voice of the Grizzlies. Pete Pranica is on the line with us. Tough news. Fought hard game four, but tough news about Ja. How does this team try to pick themselves up knowing that Morant is done for the series, done for the playoffs?
I think it can be a galvanizing moment for them. Really, game four was in their control for about 46 and a half minutes.
Yep.
And they let it slip away. So certainly, they have the ability to get this series back to San Francisco. I don't think there's any question about that. They're just going to have to rally. They understand what the situation is now. It's like, okay, we're not going to have them. So how do we go about winning games? They were 20-5 without him in the regular season. It's not an unusual circumstance for them. but the level of competition they're facing right now is extremely high, and one of the teams that I think you have to have in the championship conversation along with Boston and Milwaukee and Phoenix.
Now, should this be, and maybe I'm jumping the ship here a little bit too soon, but should this be a concern to the organization and to Memphis fans that, once again, Ja Morant is hurt?
You know, I don't know that it's anything chronic or it's just, you know, something that, you know, it's an accident or an accidental injury, if you will. I don't know that it's anything chronic. You know, there have been guys that have bone bruises and have had recurrent issues with their knees, but, you know, you get recovery time and rehabilitation time, and I'm sure that he'll be back. I don't, you know, if you were looking at multiple knee surgeries, let's say, as opposed to a bone bruise, which is what the diagnosis is at this point, yeah, I'm not going to worry about it at this point. You know, bone bruise takes a long time to heal. Well, yeah, you know, you may well have a long summer to get ready for next year.
Now, with that being said, how does this team and listen, they've done it before. They and like you said, this could be a galvanizing moment for the Memphis Grizzlies, and they were able to do it without Ja, but that was the regular season. This is the playoffs. You know, what is it that needs to happen for this team to make this a seven-game series? Because I just think if it is a galvanizing moment, then this will be a seven-game series.
Yeah, and that means that Jaren Jackson Jr. has to be fantastic, and it means he has to stay out of foul trouble. It means Desmond Bane, whatever issues he's dealing with his back, he's got to be healthier. He's got to be productive. It's, you know, no one guy is going to help the Grizzlies extend this series and send it back to San Francisco. It's going to have to be a team effort. And one of the things that has been maybe subpar for the Grizzlies is their bench production. De'Anthony Melton, you know, had a career year. Playoffs, he's really struggled. Didn't give the Grizzlies much in game four. In fact, I think he was 0 for 3, 0 for 4, something like that from the floor. He's going to have to produce. Having said that, I think, you know, Jaren's going to have to go probably, you know, 25-8, 25-10, something like that. Bane's going to have to go for 25-plus because those are the guys that are the best scoring options for this Grizzlies team, and they are going to have to be the prime-time players, along with Tyus Jones, who I thought played one heck of a game in game four. And so those are the three guys I think that really have to bring it, and you need another strong game from Kyle Anderson off the bench, which is what they got in game four.
We're talking to Pete Pranica, who is the television voice of the Memphis Grizzlies on Bally Sports. Pete, Willie here. Good to talk to you as always. Tell me the big picture here. You've got this young team for the Grizzlies going up against, you know, the Warriors, who are resurgent. You know, they lost the limelight there for a couple years with all the injuries, but, you know, that they're that brand. I just feel like this is a great moment. You hope to break through here, but you feel like it's not the end, right? The window is just opening, it seems like.
Yeah. And, Willie, congratulations on another playoff run, albeit short for the Predators.
Too short, as we've been discussing on our show.
Entirely too short. Yeah. Entirely too short. I hate that. I was hoping that you guys would make it to the second round, that I might actually be able to get to Bridgestone and see a playoff game in person, because those are special moments, obviously. I think the window is just opening. Look, this is the youngest team since at least the 97 postseason that has even made the second round of the playoffs. And for the majority of this series, until game four in San Francisco, they were doing it without Steven Adams, who's one of the oldest guys on the team anyway. So it's a very young team. It's a talented team. I think everybody would tell you that they are ahead of schedule. Going into the season, the best hope was, okay, can you be a top six seed so that you avoid the play-in tournament? Well, they were better than top six seed. They had home court in the first round of the playoffs and in the second round of the playoffs. So, the window's just opening. Ultimately, they're going to have to be some roster tweaks because, you know, you have all these young guys kind of at the same time. You're going to have to deal with their contracts because you have a lot of talented young players whose contracts are going to come due at the same time. So you're going to have to juggle some cap issues and take a deep dive and look at the season and, okay, where can you get a little bit better? I think you can always use a little bit more shooting. Willie, to your point, I think, the championship window is just now starting to crack open for this team. and the future is exceptionally bright.
How is the cap space, the assets that they have to try to address the needs?
I don't pay a whole lot of attention to it because the CBA is really, really arcane and hard to understand. But the Grizzlies are.
I'm glad I don't have to learn some of those rules. I can tell you that it's a little simpler in hockey, I think.
Yeah, I know that the Grizzlies are. It's going to be tight, and so then the question becomes: does Robert Pera, as the owner, does he want to go into the luxury tax if you think this championship window is opening and you need to spend over and above to put you into the tax? To get you over the hump. It's always been the philosophy of this organization that you don't want to go into the tax because if you're a taxpayer, obviously you're paying the tax, and also then you're not getting back money from the other teams that are in the tax if you're not. So I think being prudent financially and understanding that the championship window is starting to open, they're going to be some hard decisions mm-hmm. that are going to have to be made, and you know, maybe some players need to take a step back and it's like, okay, well, how do we keep this group together? Because at the trade deadline this year, everything was from the players and fans alike, hey, keep this group together. See how far they can go because it has been a very good and cohesive group.
Pete, great stuff. I'm sorry we pushed back your window here, a couple of segments here, but good luck to the win to the Memphis Grizzlies, hopefully extending the series, coming back. They've won a lot of games without Ja. Let's hope they can continue that.
I appreciate it, guys. And just one quick thing, even though we can't televise the game tonight, we will have full post-game coverage on Bally Sports Southeast immediately after the final horn. Rob Fisher and I will be on set, and I'm hoping I get a walk-off interview tonight because that means the Grizzlies have won and forces to a game six.
All right. We'd love to see that. Pete, thanks again.
You got it.
All right. Pete Pranica, Bally Sports. Check out their post-game coverage tonight after the game as the Grizzlies try to stay alive. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more of Darren, Donick, and Chase next.
Our man Tim Hasselbeck coming up at high noon. Platoon, we going to get high. Let's go to Josh. You're up next on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Can you hear me okay?
Yep, we got you.
First of all, God bless you guys for taking all these calls from these fans. I know how rough that can be, maybe. I am a passionate Predators fan. I'm not a NHL fan. I can't even watch other teams. I have a vested interest in this Predators team like it's a family. You know, it's not always good. It's not always bad, but it's our city's team. I don't know if firing Poyle and the coach will be a good thing. I mean, it will obviously change some things. It's kind of like gambling on these young players. You don't know if they're going to be good or not. You don't know what you're getting, but. Everybody's just really upset, and I think there's a lot of other factors that are going into that too. I mean, there's a lot going on in our world right now. As far as when Poyle, you know, accountability, like people want to hear something, the plan, et cetera. And I'm not calling in to argue with you guys at all, but at the end of the day, it's the business. It's all about the money. I mean, even these players like Forsberg, it's about that paycheck. I get it. It's their livelihood. I think back in the 80s and maybe even the 90s, maybe not so much. I think today with these huge conglomerates and the governments and, you know, it's just all about money. They don't care about your feelings. They don't care about your opinions. They just care about that paycheck. And I think it's really unfortunate. I kind of refuse to believe that or live in that world. I love watching the Predators, and I root for them all the time. I mean, even going into the fourth game, which, by the way, was an extremely exciting game to watch. And I had a coworker that went to that game. He's very lucky. I mean, that was an amazing game. I don't care what anybody says. I'm proud of them. I mean, I think we're lucky to have a hockey team. I mean, I think it's amazing. But I had a couple points, and I don't know if you guys covered this or not, but, you know, Saros getting injured, and hopefully there's no long-term damage there, but to my perception, the coach played him way too much. So where's the accountability on that, especially if there is going to be some long-term damage? We don't know. You know, he could be fine, but that was so messed up. I mean, as soon as he was hurt,
let me jump in for a second, Josh, yeah, because this has been out there a lot. So I do want to ask this question, and I'm not saying it's fair or unfair to have those that opinion because I knew it was going to happen. That's how typically it works. It's kind of like the minute Derrick Henry goes down, it's like, see, you gave him the ball too much. Yeah. But I ask you this question, and just be honest, and that's fine. I don't. Your answer may be yes. Were you saying that throughout the course of the season? Did you keep with the constant narrative like he's playing too much, he's playing too much, he's playing too much?
Yes, but it wasn't based on his performance. It was only actually when they mentioned how many few games Riddick has started.
Right. Well, you know why I'm asking, right? Because it's the easiest response from everybody is the minute he gets hurt, see? He played too much. Because here's – and I'm not disagreeing with all the people that said that because I'm not so sure that is the right number for his workload. But here is the counter to that. Do you think this team makes the playoffs if UC sits 8 more games than he did?
And they play Riddick 8 more games.
And they played David Riddick 8 more games than UC.
I would say probably not.
I agree.
Okay.
That's my point. Like, okay, I'm not saying it's an unfair statement, but if you think UC should have sat more, were you then okay that they weren't going to make the playoffs? Because I don't believe they make the playoffs.
And then your point is well taken. Look, in hindsight, David Riddick did not do what they hoped he would do, and that is instill confidence and play well.
And that's
as
what
the
I was going to say.
Up.
Now, Josh could then counter with, and a lot of fans will, well, that's on David Boyle because David Riddick wasn't good enough. Oh, okay. Right. I mean, that's fair. I get it.
But they did the best they could with what they had.
Right.
And David Riddick did win a few big games, but the bottom line is you look at the numbers. The numbers
it wasn't good enough.
Said what they said.
They were spoiled with the Pekka UC 1-2 punch for many, many years, and they didn't have that this year.
Yeah. So basically you're saying we really only had one goalie, one option really to get us into the playoffs, and that's just what happened.
Well, he's been named a Vezina finalist, so what do you think?
Yeah. I mean,
that means he's the top three goalie in the league.
Hey, listen, I love Saros. I mean, I remember when Pekka Rinne, and this was probably 4 or 5 years ago, and you guys might have a better timeline, but I didn't know the backup goalie's name. I knew Pekka Rinne. Everybody knew Pekka Rinne. I love Pekka Rinne. I mean, so when Saros would step in, he sucked. And I hated him so much that I learned his name so I could direct that anger, you know. But all that to say.
But when you say he sucked, have you looked at the numbers that he put
up as
the backup?
No. And like I said, man, I am not calling in to argue with stats. I know you guys know what you're talking about. But what I'm saying is a fan that doesn't have that education that you guys do. The games that I saw. So that's not all the games. You guys, I'm sure you see every game. So he just wasn't good. And this was when he was just starting, you know, and they would give him that opportunity to be the backup for Pekka Rinne, you know. But all that to say, he's come such a long way. He's an amazing goalie. He's the shortest or one of the shortest goalies in the league. I mean, that says a lot. And I love watching him play. So, yeah, Saros is a great goalie. He's fantastic.
Hey, Josh. We're up against it, man. We let you be on air for 5 minutes on this show.
Can you believe that?
We let a caller be on for 5 minutes and speak his mind.
I can talk all day to you guys. I appreciate it. Great show. I love the dynamic. Wait, are you joking? I can keep talking, right?
No, I know. But no, I'm not joking. I'm actually being serious.
Yeah, we do have to get to a break.
Yeah, we have to go to the break. But
I wasn't even arguing with you guys and you could have cut me off.
Look, we would have let you go longer, but we're up against it. Thank you. Over five minutes on the show, right, folks. A caller. Got to be on the air. Over 5 minutes. All right, we'll come back. Thank you, Josh. We'll come back. Hour number three with Tim Hasselbeck. We'll do that next.
Let's talk Loan Pronto for a moment. If you have thought of moving, we know it's hard right now with very little inventory, prices crazy high, rates moving up. Here's a better idea. Let Loan Pronto refinance your current home and turn all that equity you have into cash. Then you can take that cash and transform your current house. And you're better off. A new kitchen, new bathroom, whatever your vision is of your dream home, talk to Loan Pronto. They've got the method to do it. It's called the Home Improvement Refi. Give your home a total makeover. So now you can add whatever it is that you have. Hardwoods, outdoor living space, swimming pool, spa, new cabinets, appliances, home office. On down the list. Whatever's on your mind, What you do, you call Loan Pronto, let them turn that home equity into cash, use the cash to transform your current home. Call Loan Pronto for the details. Ask about that home improvement refi and give your home a total makeover. Skip that next house payment in the process. Here's the phone number, 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.